In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word was flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. The Word of God, people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Brooke. So, there's a lot of things I would like to continue to teach about our faith. One of them is that each of the Gospels is different, quite a bit different. We have four Gospels. Someone once told me it's kind of like if I gave Becky Zimmerman the task of writing a story or making a movie of Jesus' life, and I gave Brad the task of making a movie about Jesus Christ, they would probably be different, right? Because they have different perspectives. Becky might choose to start at the end, you know, at the resurrection, and then go backwards. Brad might like to start with a prologue like John and kind of a poem at the beginning to kind of tell the whole story before he starts the story. We would do it differently. And each one of the Gospels is a different movie, a different approach. And there are three of those Gospels that are very similar. We call them the Synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We call them that because they're a lot the same. They have some differences, but they kind of go on the same theme. A 1 year of ministry, if you read the story, there's 1 year of ministry. And Jesus is pretty human, I would say, pretty human in the sense that Jesus seems to be like you and I sometimes. John, on the other hand, is totally different. 3 years of ministry, not one. You have this beautiful prologue. It's like an overture of a symphony that tells the whole story right there, a poem that tells the whole thing. And also, Jesus speaks so differently in the Gospel of John. I remember, anybody ever been to a passion play? We used to have passion plays. I don't know if they have them anymore, where they kind of went through the whole gospel of either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and told the whole story. Well, I remember going to the passion play in South Dakota. It was in Spearfish, South Dakota, and you could be a participant in it. So I used to take youth groups there. We used to participate. But the youth, we got done, would say, "What in the world was Jesus talking about?" Because Jesus spoke, they also used the King James Version of the Bible, but they used the Gospel of John, and Jesus spoke like this, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee." That's how Jesus talked. Not very earthly, right? Jesus has long speeches in John. In the Gospel of Mark, short talks, you know. In the Gospel of John, Jesus seems to know everything, you know, before it even happens. To be honest, he seems a little pompous to me. You know, he just seems kind of full of himself, too. I am the bread of life. You know, you have those kind of statements. Whereas in the other Gospels, Jesus doesn't even seem to want his holiness or his sacredness to be known sometimes, right? So what is going on here? Well, if you read Richard Rohr, he has a great explanation. He says, the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are more talking about the historical Jesus, a little more of an earthly Jesus, right? But in the Gospel of John, when they're talking about Jesus, they're not talking about the historical Jesus, the Jesus down on earth. Really, John is talking about Christ. And this is another thing I'd like to say to you this morning. I think there's a huge difference between Jesus and Christ. Now, we're kind of funny, we Christians. We meld them together. Jesus Christ, right? Really should be Jesus the Christ would be the proper title. Jesus, comma, the Christ. But we put it together, Jesus Christ. There is a difference, though, between Jesus and Christ. Christ is the Logos. Christ is that word that's at the very beginning with God. Christ is that love and that redemption that is in everything, in each of us, right? And Jesus is just that, it's not just, but is that Christ, that Logos made flesh. So I used this analogy before, but one time I had a purple Honda Fit. It was really pretty ugly, according to my son, Wes, but I love that thing. I bought it partly because I'd never seen any others. And so, you know, I wanted to be unique, right? So I buy this thing, and I go to Costco one day, and I look in the parking lot, and there in my section, there are three purple Honda Fits, right? I just, before I bought my Honda Fit, I couldn't see them. I wasn't aware of those fits, right, that they were there. The same goes with Jesus. Jesus comes to earth and shows us the way God is from the beginning. Jesus is showing us, and so we begin to see, maybe for the first time, and experience this understanding of God in earth, the way it might look, right? And so we start seeing that, but it's not a one-time happening, according to Richard Rohr. It's been with us from the very get-go. And this is really important for us to understand, because sometimes when we go through tough things, when we lose someone of cancer unexpectedly, when we have a car crash like we did in our family and my sister died, when we have those tragic happenings, so many times today we say, that's not our story. How did this possibly happen? This isn't God's will. Where is God at this moment? How could this possibly happen? And what John is trying to tell us is, in a lot of ways, this hardship, this struggle we go through, these moments of failure that we have, are moments that are a part of life. They've been a part of life from the beginning, right? They've been there from the beginning. And so we don't, how do I say this? We're still going to get, you know, knocked off our feet. When we have those things happen, you know we're going to get knocked off our feet. But we find our feet again because we begin to realize that God's not done with our story, right? That's the message, that God's not done with us yet, and that God can still work through us and make something wonderful happen. In fact, our lives might be more beautiful after a tragedy, once we've walked through it and overcome it, our life might be a greater witness than it was before. I remember reading a story one time of a woman who was writing to Dear Abby, if you remember Dear Abby. She was writing to Dear Abby, and she was talking about her husband, who had just graduated from law school. And she wasn't a drinker normally, but hey, they'd worked hard to get through. And so there was this big party, and of course she let loose and drank a lot. And about 2 a.m, she got done with the party, and she drove home. She got into her bed and lay down. And at 6 a.m, there was a policeman at her door. And there had been a paper boy who was delivering papers that morning. She hit him. She didn't even know it. And he died. And she asks Abby, what do I do with my life now? Where do I go? You know, I took flowers to the family that lost their son, the paper boy, and they just took the flowers and they brought them back and just cut them up and threw them all over my yard. And I don't blame them, you know. I feel like that too. And then she signs, she says, what am I supposed to do? And she signs her letter, forever guilty. Now, what John is trying to tell us is guilty, yes. Struggling, yes. But life over, no. God can still redeem this. God can still take that moment and make something beautiful out of it. And you might say, how? How could anybody take that tragedy and help this woman find some way to be beautiful in this world? Well, God did. She started going to church, seeking forgiveness. Not just a forgiveness that, you know, takes away and she can just live her life normally. No, she wants to take what happened seriously. How can God help her redeem that moment? And so she starts listening for God. And she starts going to a group called Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. Can you imagine her walking into that place, and she tells her story. Can you imagine how that is received? And it is received with hope. They want her to share her story more often. They want her to go with them when they talk to college students and high school students and people out in the world, because her story is one that is true and has happened. And she starts telling that story, and it starts transforming her story. In God's hands becomes hope for others. Her story in God's hands is woven in with other stories and becomes a message of redemption in our lives. That is what John is trying to tell us when he says the Logos, the Word, was there in the beginning. That the Logos is in all of us and continues to be in all of us. And we shouldn't give up our story until we can let God redeem it. And I'm hoping, as we think about our lives, that you don't think your life is over yet. Right? That God has something yet to work in you, to complete in you, to use in you. And so, here's my hope, that we can take the Christ that is in John's story and make it be a part of ours. Is there something you can't forgive? Is there something in your life that is causing you so much pain you can't get up in the morning? I was messaged this week with somebody in our church that's going through that. I believe with all my heart that God's not done with you. Open your heart to that. And all the people said,